Welcome to the DMD edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the Muscular Dystrophy Association's 2024 Clinical and Scientific Conference in Orlando, Florida. Our guest today is Dr. Edward Smith, a pediatric neurologist who practiced at Duke University for nearly 20 years before joining rare disease research as medical director and principal investigator in Hillsborough, North Carolina. Dr. Smith, originally from Mississippi, specializes in Duchenne muscular dystrophy, spinal muscular atrophy, and other rare neuromuscular disorders. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Sure. Great to be here with you, Larry.
So the topic of conversation here is the recent FDA approval of vamorolone, otherwise known as Agamree. Tell us a bit about it.
So vamorolone was approved by the FDA in October of last year for patients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, 2 years of age and older, so very broad label. We currently have, prior to the approval of vamorolone, we had two other steroid options, prednisone and deflazacort. And so this adds a third steroid to the toolbox. And it's important to think of vamorolone as another steroid. It carries many of the same risks as the other corticosteroids. But the hope is that it retains the benefits of the other two steroids, but loses some of the negative side effects. And we could talk more about that.
Yeah. So we've covered Duchenne muscular dystrophy for some time, and common complaints among parents are that corticosteroids cause weight gain, behavioral issues, in some cases digestive issues, and of course other decrease in bone density, as I understand it.
Correct.
How is vamorolone different, and why does it not have some of those negative effects? But we understand that it still doesn't help with the weight gain issue.
So, good question. Vamorolone's approval was based on a 24-week placebo-controlled study called the Vision DMD study that was completed a couple of years ago. And the data from the first part of that study, the first 6 months, have been published back in 2022. And FDA used that data to base their decision on approving vamorolone. That approval was based on how vamorolone compared to placebo in terms of efficacy. So does it work better than a placebo pill in Duchenne patients? And also in terms of safety in comparison to prednisone. So looking at some of those side effects you just mentioned. And what we've learned from the 24-week data, and there's also now recently published 48-week data, vamorolone does indeed, as it was designed to do, it does seem to retain the benefits of prednisone for DMD treatment, but lose or at least reduce some of those other side effects that you mentioned, primarily related to bone health. And I'll clarify that in just a second. But as you also mentioned, the weight gain is still there, particularly at the recommended high dose of vamorolone. Vamorolone is able to do this because it was designed to do this by very smart chemists. They changed the chemical structure of the steroid just a little bit so that it could work differently in the body and again lose some of the bad side effects, particularly on bone health. So what we know from the trial is that boys on vamorolone, when compared to placebo, did much better in terms of some of the standard functional measures that are used in studies, like how quickly can the boy get up from the floor. So that's the time to stand velocity. How quickly can a boy climb four stairs? So the four stair climb, the 6 minute walk test. And across the board, the boys on the 6 mg/kg, the high dose of vamorolone, had significant improvement versus placebo. So that's good. We know it does more than a sugar pill. In terms of safety, Vamorolone compared to prednisone, a standard dose of prednisone, 0.75 milligrams per kilogram per day. Vamorolone over the 24-week data showed benefit compared to prednisone, particularly looking at assessments of behavior, anxiety, agitation, concentration, and also in terms of bone health. So there's more bone health information coming and being worked on right now. But what the trial showed was that three very specific compounds in the body that tell us something about bone health and how quickly bone is being made, those three measures moved in strong favor of vamorolone over prednisone.
When you say bone health, you're referring to a density?
Bone mineral density. Right. That's the idea. But that bone mineral density data are being collected as we speak. So these are just biomarkers or chemicals in the body that you can track and would predict a less negative effect on bone health, or maybe even a positive effect. So actual bone mineral density, we'd want to look at DEXA scans, so a special X-ray of the bone to measure bone mineral density, and that data is there, but it's being evaluated right now. And then ultimately, what you'd like to know is, does that equate to a lower fracture risk? So many boys with Duchenne on chronic corticosteroids end up with fractures in their legs, which often leads to loss of ambulation prematurely. The other impact on bone health is related to growth, linear growth, how tall the boys get, or on traditional corticosteroids, how short the boys remain. And the data there were very compelling, in my opinion, in favor of vamorolone when looking at rate of height or weight of growth in terms of height.
You mentioned in your presentation that boys stop growing, or they compared to their peers who continue to grow at that age, and they remain short. And then that creates emotional problems for them too.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, you know, I don't know any colleagues who treat Duchenne patients and just really feel good writing those prednisone or deflazacort, the steroid prescriptions. We offer it at least because we know from years of experience, years and years, decades of data, boys with Duchenne muscular dystrophy who are treated with a standard dose of corticosteroids will walk a few years longer than the boys who don't get the steroids. By extension, retain or their function of their arms and their hands will be preserved by up to 6 or 7 more years. You know, that's, but they're getting weaker. They're getting weaker the whole time, but they're getting weaker more slowly.
Now, we have interviewed parents of boys with Duchenne who will not give their kids steroids.
Yeah.
And they're very adamant about it.
And I'll say I can understand that. You know, in many ways, we give the boys a new disease in addition to their Duchenne with the steroids.
I want to ask you about another issue. Up to a third of boys with Duchenne show signs of autism, spectrum disorder. And you mentioned about behavioral problems in your presentation. Can you talk a bit about that? Does Agamree alleviate some of those behavior problems?
So that's a really difficult question to answer. I'm not avoiding the question, but we know that, as you said, we know that many boys with DMD are on the autism spectrum in some way. ADHD, behavioral issues, even some cognitive and intellectual disabilities, but in a smaller number. I think, and of course, we know that the steroids, at least prednisone and deflazacort, oftentimes can exacerbate those underlying issues, right? One thing that's probably important to mention is that in the trial that vamorolone approval was based on, just like with any Duchenne trial, there's a selection bias your question. You kind of select out the boys who are intellectually impaired most severely, or on the more severe end of the autism spectrum, because to be in a trial, you have to be able to cooperate with the assessments and cooperate consistently. But that being said, the data that was gathered from the Vision DMD study, and these were parent-reported assessments, and it was a blinded study. The parents didn't know if their boy was getting prednisone, vamorolone, or placebo, was in favor of vamorolone over prednisone. So, you know, it's clinically, it's often a question, like, are these behavior problems just part of Duchenne? Have they actually gotten worse with the steroid therapy? I think oftentimes the answer is yes and yes to both of those. And it's also the behavior question, I think, is also one of the reasons that we may not increase the dose of prednisone or deflazacort as the boys gain weight to keep up with their growth. For fear of exacerbating the underlying behavior problems even more. So then you end up with many boys on a suboptimal dose of steroid.
Just to clarify, deflazacort is derived from prednisone, right?
Yeah, I don't know the exact chemical difference, but they're closely related and have very similar properties
and similar side effects.
So, you know, I think what we've seen over the years with deflazacort relative to prednisone is maybe a higher incidence of cataracts, deflazacort, more negative impact on height. So boys with deflazacort may be a little shorter than the boys on prednisone, who are also very short. Prednisone seems to have more weight gain associated with. That's often the reason a boy may switch from prednisone to deflazacort for the weight gain. They're both they're terrible in terms of osteopenia or fragile bones over time, both of them. But, you know, we talked about the benefits, and there are other benefits to continuing the steroids as well.
So Agamree, as such, won FDA approval in October of 2023, right?
Correct.
So on the Catalyst website, it lists the possible side effects of Agamree as facial puffiness, psychiatric disorders, vomiting, weight gain, and vitamin D deficiency.
Yeah. And all of those were seen, but they were also seen in the other groups, including some of them in the placebo group. So some of this is just part of a placebo controlled trial, but those were seen at a high enough incidence to be reportable. And you know, I think it's important if you read all the fine print and the little package insert that comes with the drug, you know, they call the FDA the label. It's essentially a prednisone or a deflazacort or a corticosteroid label in terms of all the precautions that are listed. Vamorolone, I said this earlier, but I think it's really important to understand that vamorolone is a steroid. It's not a steroid. It's a steroid like prednisone, like deflazacort. It carries many of the same risks and side effects. But those side effects, the ones we discussed, appear to be less.
Right.
They're mitigated by the change, the little tweak in the chemical structure of the drug.
Dr. Smith, we're almost out of time. Just one last question, if I may. Since you're from North Carolina and you were involved in Early Check, which of course was a pilot program to screen for rare diseases, can you tell us a bit about North Carolina's efforts to detect Duchenne through newborn screening?
There have been quite a few pilot programs trying to figure out how to best screen a large number of population screen of patients for a newborn screening for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. So North Carolina is not doesn't stand alone in that effort. And there have actually recently been two states have added DMD newborn screening to their newborn screening panel, New York and Ohio. What usually happens is the federal government, a group called the RUSP, the Recommended Uniform Screening Panel, makes a recommendation to all the states, and they'll say, we recommend that you add DMD newborn screening to your panels, and then it's up to the states to decide. So this is what happened, for instance, with spinal muscular atrophy. So even though that directive or that recommendation came down from the federal government, it took many states, including North Carolina, many years to introduce SMA newborn screening into the newborn screening panel. The program you're talking about that I'm involved in is with Early Check, and It's similar to other efforts. It's based on looking at creatine kinase levels. So that's the enzyme inside muscle that gets released out into the bloodstream when muscle is damaged. So you'd have a high level in the blood. Based on detecting elevated CK levels on the dried blood spot that's being obtained anyway, right?
Yes.
So you would screen for that. If it's above, if the CK level is above a certain threshold, that would trigger a repeat blood test of CK. It's tricky in Duchenne because what we're learning is that CK levels rise in many babies without muscular dystrophy just through birth trauma, just through the birthing process. So in most patients with an elevation in CK level shortly after birth, it's related to that, not because they have Duchenne or some other muscular dystrophy.
Okay, we're about out of time. We've been speaking with Dr. Edward Smith. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.